reopening Texas, and we're hoping the kinds of things we need to be doing. We hope to be able to offer some in-person worship opportunities maybe before the month of May is out. But we'll learn more in the coming days, and as soon as we know something, we're going to let you know something as well. On Wednesday nights, we're studying the book of Jeremiah, and this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and a study that Eugene Peterson did years ago made an impression on me, and so I'm using some of the things that Eugene wrote about and some of the things that I've learned from the book of Jeremiah, and we're kind of working through all of this together in the midst of the pandemic. And one of the things that the book of Jeremiah is about, and the way it really helps us, is how we can live this prophetic life where we stand in the gap between God on one hand and the times in which we live on the others. And how can we be the kind of person that will bring all of that together? Jeremiah lived that kind of life. I want to live that kind of life as well. And I think especially in the midst of these surreal times, it's so important that as believers, we are the kind of people where God and the world, the times in which we live, can find common ground in our lives so that people can come to know Christ the way that we do and experience His presence and His peace in their lives during this time. So if you have your Bibles, look with me in the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. I'll be reading from there in a moment. Hey, do you remember Bob Ross? You remember Bob, the painter with the big hair, and he did the Joy of Painting TV show on PBS? I have my Bob Ross bobblehead here. Bob Ross is one of my favorite painters, and I could watch The Joy of Painting for hours and feel my blood pressure just drop as he paints. He's famous for creating these masterpiece quality works of art in 30 minutes or less on live television. And he had a way of putting you at ease as you tried painting yourself. This is your world, he would say. You put these things where you want them to be, and he would say, there are no mistakes, just happy little accidents. And I've tried to paint the way that Bob shows us how, and I've struggled because I don't know where things should always go on the canvas. And I wonder, how do artists know what to create? What I understand is that they kind of begin the process with a vision of what they want the end product to look like, but then they just go with the flow as the medium of creation guides and directs them, and the product is what it is when they're finished. In the chapter or the text that we're going to read in just a moment, I think God wanted the prophet Jeremiah to communicate to the people of Judah a similar understanding of how God was at work among them. And we need to understand how God is present and at work in our lives and in our times. God is forming us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is forming you? Let me take Bob down. I don't want anybody to think that I'm worshiping an idol here in our sanctuary. Hey, look with me in Jeremiah chapter 18. I'll start reading in verse 1. I'm going to need my glasses. That's the problem. Well, that's better. Okay. It says this. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and actions. But they will reply, it's no use. We will continue with our own plans. Each of us will follow the stubbornness of his evil heart. All right. Two things, really, that I want to emphasize tonight from the text. The first one is that God is the potter, and we are his creation. I know we hear that all the time, and it seems so familiar that we often miss really all the fine details that Jeremiah intends for us to get when we think of God being the potter and that we are his creation. Think about this. Can you imagine what life would be like if you had no containers? What would your house be like if there was no such thing as Tupperware? Where would you be? Where would you put things? If we had no wallets, ladies, if you had no purses, how would you exist from one day to the next? If our pants had no pockets, if there were no such thing as boxes, how could we be a civilized society? You know that literally, quite literally, pottery changed the course of human history. Before pottery, humans were only wandering tribes, moving from one source of food and water to another. They could not be settled. They were strictly nomadic. But pottery is thought to be one of the things that marks the beginning of the Neolithic age in human history. Pottery made it possible for people to carry and store items, food, water. Pottery was very functional. It had a purpose, and it allowed them to develop their societies in ways that they had not been earlier. But pottery was more than just functional. Pottery became an art form. No piece of handmade pottery is exactly like another. And I especially love Native American pottery. And when I'm in places where there are pueblos in the Southwest, I always like to go and visit the artists and see how they go about making their crafts. Each piece of Native American pottery is artistically shaped, designed, painted, glazed, and fired. We think that the American Indians have been making their pottery for at least 2,000 years, and they make all manner of things, cooking pots, water jars, storage jars, ceremonial vessels that are used in their various ceremonial tribal activities. Each pueblo, often each tribe, has developed their own distinct art form so that you can even see a piece of pottery and have a good idea of which part of the nation, which pueblo, and maybe even which specific tribe created that particular item. They dig clay from a local deposit in the ground. They ground it up. It is soaked. It is refined. It is shaped into a coil, and then it is scraped and fired, and then it is painted or sometimes glazed. They create something that is functional, but is also quite beautiful to behold. Jeremiah had probably seen potters at work all his life, but on this occasion, he saw something else. When he saw the potter working at his wheel, he saw God himself shaping a people for his own glory. Like a master craftsman, an artist, God creates a people for himself, a people who will be both useful for God's purposes and they will be beautiful to behold because the hands of God shaped them, and His presence would be among them. When we come to Christ, the Bible says that we become new creations. The old is gone, and we are made into something quite new. We are created in the image of Christ. We are designed to bear the image of Christ, which makes us quite beautiful. But we are also jars of clay, which means that we have a purpose to perform in God's kingdom as well. We are functional as well as beautiful to behold. That's the body of Christ, and it's created by God's design, each one having his or her specific place designed just for them. Each part of the body is necessary, but not only necessary, it's beautiful. And beautiful, but not only beautiful, but also necessary and functional. And this is the way the Bible describes us as believers, as the church, as the body of Christ. What we need to understand is that God has His fingerprints on each and every one of us. And He shapes us for His eternal purposes. There's a play on words for Jeremiah, and you have to go back to the first chapter in verse 5 to understand. In Hebrew, God says to Jeremiah, "I formed you in the womb." The word is yachzer. And here in chapter 18, the word for potter is yotzer. And so Jeremiah has this distinct understanding that began right at the beginning of his calling as a prophet, that he is being formed by the hand of God. He was formed in his mother's womb. His life is being shaped and formed now as a prophet. God's fingerprints were all over Jeremiah's life from beginning to end. And I wonder, are you allowing God to shape and form you into a vessel for His presence? Would you say that your life, as a result of God's fingerprints and shaping on you, is both functional and beautiful? Is your life a beauty to behold, a work of art, as well as being something that is quite useful to accomplish God's purposes for God's glory? Jesus told us, you are the light of the world. Light is something that is very functional indeed, but it's also quite beautiful. And that's what Jesus says we are, light, shining in darkness. That serves a purpose, yes, but is also to be a beautiful thing to behold. As Jeremiah watched in wonder, as the potter shaped the vessel, he began to understand what God was showing him. And then something happened on the potter's wheel. In verse 4, it says that the clay was marred in the potter's hands. Notice that the clay was in the potter's hands, in the hand of the artist. The defect that Jeremiah witnessed was in the clay. The problem was not with the potter. It wasn't with the artist. It was in the clay itself. And once the flaw was apparent, the potter simply started over and made something new. I think that Jeremiah knew all about spoiled vessels. Don't you? We all know people, and we may even be some of those people with impurities and blemishes. People who, for whatever reason, will resist the shape, the shaping of our Creator, that we will even fight against Him as He's trying to shape our lives into something functional and beautiful. Some are not useful to God. Some vessels might be leaky or unstable and undependable, and there are some lives that are leaky and unstable and undependable. Others do not live attractive lives. Have you ever encountered someone that you just thought their life was not attractive at all? Maybe because of their anger or their bitterness, or their suspicions, or they are just too self-absorbed, and there's darkness around them and maybe within them. Darkness and not light. There's just nothing attractive drawing you to that person's life. Jeremiah saw that the potter didn't give up on the clay. Instead, he reworked it into something useful and beautiful. Patiently, skillfully, the potter begins the creative process again and finishes something both functional and beautiful. A work of art. Here's what I want you to understand. There is both hope and warning in Jeremiah's vision there in the potter's house. In verse 8, God explains that if people repent, they will not be disciplined. Isn't that good news? But in verse 10, if they do not remain in a right relationship with God, then what was intended for their blessing may actually turn into their correction. And what I want you to see is that whether it's blessing or correction, either way, God is not giving up on us. He's shaping us. And our lives may become flawed and ugly or unattractive or unuseful. God's not content to just leave us there. He's the kind of artist that is capable of starting over so that he can make us into something quite useful and quite beautiful at the same time. No matter how colossal the failure is in any person's life, it is never the final word if we repent and allow the Lord to reshape us, to reform us. Never make the mistake of defining your existence according to the worst thing you have ever done. God sees you quite differently. No person is too far gone that God cannot shape them into something new, beautiful, purposeful. No promise of God's steadfast love in Christ is licensed to be lazy, self-absorbed, or useless. Listen to what I'm saying. Although the gospel message is good news indeed, it is not freedom to sin and to live however we want. So let me say that again. No promise of God's steadfast love in Christ is licensed to be lazy, self-absorbed, and useless. Freedom is not license. The clay can frustrate the potter's intention and cause him to change it. And sometimes the quality of the clay determines what the potter can do with it. So also the quality of a people determines what God can do with them. In verse 12, the people appear to refuse to respond to God's presence, to his fingerprints shaping their lives. They refuse to participate, to willingly involve themselves in the shaping purposes of God. And God even tells Jeremiah, after delivering this message, what you can expect them to say in response is, no, it's no use. Our situation is hopeless. We cannot turn from our ways, which isn't true. They could turn from their ways. What they should have said was, we will not turn from our ways. We are too far gone. They seem to be saying it's too late for us. We're not going to be reformed at this point in our lives. So, as a result, the people are going to experience terrible suffering, a great evil climaxing in the fall of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and everything that became the Babylonian exile in the Old Testament. All of that was intended to discipline the people and to bring them back into a right relationship with God. But even though they were going to go through these terrible things, these difficult things, the good news is that they were never going to be discarded. And even through the exile itself, God will pursue them. He will send prophets to them. He will form them and shape them. And He will preserve a faithful remnant from whom He will start again. And it is from that new beginning, that faithful remnant, that we receive Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. See, it's never too late or hopeless for me or you either. God has never given up on us, although we are so quick to give up on ourselves and on one another. He sent Jeremiah. He sent other prophets as well. He sent to us Jesus Christ. He sends to us the Holy Spirit and the very Word of God itself. But remember that God will not force Himself on you. God will not force you to respond to the Spirit in your life. You must cooperate with Him. You must invite Him in and allow Him to shape your life and to leave His fingerprints on every part of your existence. So being a Christian means being reborn. We are thrown onto the potter's wheel. We are shaped into something purposeful and useful, but also into something quite beautiful to God, something quite desirable to the heart of God. And when we are not useful or beautiful, we are reshaped. And that process of being reshaped is painful and unpleasant, but it's always worth it so we can come back into a right relationship with God. Think about Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when He rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those He loves, and He punishes everyone He accepts as a son." Isn't that wonderful? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees." Here's what I want to leave you with. God is forming you. Even in the midst of this pandemic, He is shaping your life. Who are you going to be? Are you working with God? Or are you pushing back against Him? Are you telling Him that it's no use? I'm not going to be changed. I'm not even sure I want to be changed at this point in my life. Remember that the quality of the clay determines how the potter will form it. What is the condition of your heart and your life as God is shaping you? Also, I wonder, are you being shaped by the love of Jesus Christ? Are you being formed into an attractive, a beautiful vessel that God can use to fill with His presence? Or have we become like the unbelieving world so that instead of being filled with God, we are simply vessels that are filled with ourselves? May it be that the Lord will empty us out so that He can fill us with His beautiful presence and shape our lives into something that will be quite attractive to an unbelieving world right now. Let's pray together. Lord, we close tonight by acknowledging that You are the artist. You are the potter. We are only Your creation. And so, Lord, shape us into something purposeful and useful. Shape us into something attractive and beautiful for Yourself and for Your kingdom. Have Your way with us. Help us to be encouraged by the good news that our flaws and failures do not define our existence. And help us to open up our lives to Your presence so that You can shape us into something new. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. Lord, we do not want to be disciplined, but it may very well be that we need to be disciplined. So again, may Your will be done. Lord, I pray that in Your power, that You would protect those in Aransas County from this illness that is going around. Lord, we pray that You would provide for the needs of those who are experiencing an economic catastrophe during this pandemic. We ask, Lord, that You would guide our leaders. We ask, Lord, that you would protect our first responders and medical personnel. We ask that you would protect those who are back at work in whatever capacity, trying to provide for themselves and their families. Lord, we ask that you would reveal yourself to those who are lonely, who are feeling anxiety, who are not sure about anything anymore. Comfort them with your presence. And Lord, we turn our eyes to you, believing that you are not only present, but you are present in power, moving us all according to your purposes. Increase our faith in you, and may your will be done. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and good night.